This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We're back. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. Holy cow. It's first day of Hanukkah in the year 57-something or other, and it's the 179th episode of Arts and Seizures, and I guarantee you, just like it's been a trend, there's been a lot more seizures than art on the show lately. I'm trying to flip that on its back. Our guest today is our good friend returning, our Rabbi Dan Bronstein, and I know he's a great scholar. He's a great man. He's going to teach us about everything. He's going to solve all of our problems today.
Absolutely,
all of our problems, and especially Saint Elizabeth there in the booth. He's going to sort you right out. I know it's the holiday season. You're wondering about gifts, about how not to fight with your family at these holiday parties and events. And
this could not have come at a better time for me. Really, thank you.
And Rabbi Dan's got all the answers, and Dan, really, you've been a great influence, and you've been a great friend, and something of a mentor to me. I'm really happy to have you here today again.
Shalom aleichem to everybody.
All right, and happy Hanukkah.
Almost right.
Almost today's Eve of Hanukkah tonight. So get out one of those Liberace looking candelabra things.
That or one of the Stegosaurus ones or one of the bong ones.
You know how many people sent me that stupid bong menorah?
Yeah, that's the theme of the year.
Like literally over 25 people have Facebooked me individually the bong menorah.
It's made all the news.
Put six strings and a couple of pickups on that thing, and maybe we'll talk.
That's right.
That's right. I'm thinking about. So listen. So last night I went to this crazy latke party. There was a bit of tippling involved.
Mm-hmm.
They say Jews don't drink. Well, here's one that does.
Right. That's a myth.
Oh, we're just shattering myths left and right. And I woke up with this lovely shiksa. And I said, "Holy shit, I gotta go. There's a rabbi in my radio show today." And she says to me, "So are you gonna be confessing your sins?" I was like, "Well, we don't really do that.
No.
That's not how it operates." And by the way, which sins was she talking about? Because, I mean, we drank a lot and there was what I would describe as a non-procreative sex act.
Right.
I'm not sure that I actually committed any sins. I mean, not in the last 12 hours anyway.
Well, you're really supposed to confess sins to the people who you sin against.
Ah. And see, Jews don't need this shit down. Jews are so smart.
You don't need an intermediary for that.
Right. The fucking useless middleman.
You go right to God, or you go right, even better, you go right to the people who you've harmed or offended or any of those things.
Right. I mean, I know it's an American tradition, the useless middleman.
That's right. You know,
the used car salesman, my agent who I hope isn't listening. Right. You know, it's like, why? Why can't I just cut the deal myself? Why does everybody have their fucking hands out? But that's the goyim for you, right? And yet, Dan, let's face it, we are, as Donald Trump said, a bunch of fucking negotiators.
Well, you know, the Goyim get a lot of things right. You know, let's not be unfair here.
Oh, spare ribs.
They gave us things like Miracle Whip and denominationalism and...
I'm going to pass the Miracle Whip. Then the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pass
Iggy
on that,
Pop.
Too. okay.
Stooges, you know, those are no, you know, lots those of are lot. All righteous Gentiles.
So Jews, like there were what, 5 million Jews in America, in the United States-ish? And they're all in New York City, right?
5 to 6. It's a whole... at this point, ridiculous argument among
certain people.
It's
less than 2% of the population of the United States.
Yeah, it's a tiny.
And yet, where's my minority status?
Well, we've certainly we're a minority in numbers, but we're certainly not a minority in terms of the majority
media.
Culture. You know, we've made it big time in this country. We've done very well.
We have shows on Heritage Radio Network. Some of us.
That's right, and you know, it's there's a whole literature about Jews becoming mainstream, Jews becoming quote unquote white in the post-war era. So, but if you look at popular culture, if you look at so many different facets of American life, Jews are well within the American majority culture.
Absolutely, and I, you know, the shiksa that I wake up with, she goes, so what happens when you confess your sins? Do you set up the chuppah? And I'm like, oy, fucking vey. Okay?
Yeah, that's
she's just got this, it's like, you know.
And you know shiksa is a really bad word, right?
Oh, I know, it's terrible, but I mean, you know, I called some the other day, I called some a shagets.
Yes, that's
okay, but it's, but which sounds almost like the N word, which is my least favorite euphemism of all time, but it's basically the same thing. It's just like you're a goy, and I mean, this is the pejorative word for Gentile,
abomination. You know, goyim is that literally means nations.
Yeah.
So you know, shiksa has gotten this. I think maybe even via Woody Allen of all people, has gotten like this popular currency, but it's actually a really bad word.
But it's because we talk about shiksa goddesses, and you know, for a Jew like me, and let's face it, no one ever went home with me based on the way I look. I mean, I'm just not that guy. Well, you know, I got game. I do. But I mean, no one's fucking me because I'm like that good looking, because I'm not. But a shiksa goddess,
it's your sparkling personality, which is what ultimately counts.
But a shiksa goddess, I mean, that's like grabbing the ring.
That used to mean blonde, blue-eyed, right? Thin, blonde, blue-eyed women, right? And now I think that actually Jewish men are gravitating towards other things.
Other Jewish men?
Well, I think, there's other Jewish men. That's always been, you know, I mean, it's interesting. The whole phenomenon of Jewish men and Asian women.
It's so true.
And that's,
it's
I
so
think,
true.
Like, I feel like
it's
been
perverse.
A shift.
And I'm glad we go there because we're not afraid. We're not fucking afraid of anything on this show. And it's true, these fucking Jew boys and their yellow fever. It is fucking true.
So, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. I don't know what to
But
make
also,
of it.
By the way, every shiksa that I know, single shiksa, if they've been like doing like Match.com, you tell me, Liz in the booth, have you ever done any internet dating?
No, I've been in a relationship for quite some time.
Okay, all right. But had you not been in this relationship for some time, how come I don't know this? I thought you and I had a relationship, Liz. Okay, but all these shiksas I know go on J date.
Right. I was actually I met my wife, who I'm, you know, it's going to be 10 years in June.
Mazel tov.
Right before
Mazel
I met tov, her, both of us, ironically, went on J date, and then. You know, I found it to be a pretty mortifying experience.
Dismal, horrifying, harrowing.
Yes. But one of the things was, you know, like it has, you know, I'm sensitive about my looks also. And I put, you know, where it said weight.
You've got a good face for radio.
Thank you. That's right. Exactly. For weight, I put down 500 pounds because I thought it was amusing. I thought people would get it. And then all these people told me, oh, no, don't do that. You're driving people away. But it didn't matter in the end.
Yeah, J-Date, oddly, is not like a hotbed for humor.
No, it's not.
You would think humor, the thing that kept us alive for 6,000 years in the desert of suffering, right? Is like what our shtick, our, you know?
That's right. Humor is survival. But
J-Date is as funny as the dentists who populate.
Yeah, right. It's like fluoride. But I actually did some weddings to people who met via J-Date. So it does, you know, those are good, healthy marriages. So I feel like
It plays its role. So J-Date, well, listen, it's bringing two people together. It's making the shittick, one of my favorite words.
Right.
And I kind of made a note to myself here to use as much Yiddish as I possibly can.
By all means.
On today's show. But a shittick, and what's the myth is if you make three shitticks, you get to go to heaven.
You get a place in the world to come, whatever that is exactly.
What is the world to come? Because, you know our friends across the aisle, heaven, hell, lake of fire, purgatory, you know.
Well, the rabbis, the sages are pretty vague about it, but this is typically rabbinical.
Fucking Jews are always vague, right?
Well, they're vague about these.
We're very good with questions. Answers, not so much.
Well, this is. I'm glad they're vague about it, right? Because it's better to be vague about things like heaven and the world to come than to promise people, like, you know, you'll get 70 virgins, or you'll get this, or you'll get that. I'm glad there's vagueness.
By the way, I can get 70 virgins. I can get that. I can get that. Like, there's nothing in New York that's more than three phone calls away.
Well, as the comedian, that's true. But as the comedian Jeff Ross pointed out, if you've got 70 virgins, that means you also have 70 mothers-in-law. So, and some of us feel
Okay. Wait a second. Let's go back to the non-procreative sex act that I had with my disco doll that I picked up at this latka party last night.
So you want to skip over...
Do I have to marry her now, Dan, because we had like a tawdry sex act?
Well, I would say, I would personally say no. That's where I'm coming from. I'm obviously from a liberal wing.
This is why you're my
Judaism,
rabbi.
But other people would say, you know, you shouldn't have been "quote unquote" in that place in the first. I'm not speaking English right now. In the first place, you shouldn't have been up to such shenanigans, right?
I beg to differ.
Right, and you and most of the human race. So. No, it's a non-procreative sex act, so that's a different story. Those are allowed within the tradition.
They're allowed if you're married.
If you're married.
It's not allowed, hooking up. I can't just, like, Tinder the bartender here at Roberta's.
Just to be an apologist here for the tradition, I think that's a pretty...
Because Jews don't have enough apologists.
Well, that's right.
Go ahead. Jump on that bandwagon.
Well, I'll be an apologist in this way, is that I think that's a pretty progressive thing, that it's okay to have sex just for pleasure. And not just for procreation. I think that's a good thing.
Actually, seriously speaking, Jewish tradition does allow for that. If you're married within the institution of marriage, I mean, knock yourself out. Whereas I believe our friends across the aisle, fucking goyim, basically, it's like make babies.
This is, by the way, this broadcast. You know,
am I going to ruin your career?
No, this is going to be all like this is going to be recorded by Aryan Nations or the Armies of God or somebody, and say, look, it's true. Jews really do hate Christians, and they really are a subversive force.
Well, we are a subversive.
Yes, we are.
We absolutely are a subversive. As far as hating Christians, if you had seen me at around 10:30 this morning, you wouldn't have said that.
Right. but you know, it's. But making sex enjoyable, I think that's a pretty – not all traditions say that. So I think that's a pretty impressive thing that we have in our resume.
Right? We're pretty progressive about these things.
Right. Absolutely. It's not dirty, and the body is not inherently dirty. And having fun isn't a bad thing.
Fun not being a bad thing. It asks the question of morality, and where we're cherry-picking our rules from.
Right.
But I love being Jewish. I mean, I'm having a fucking great time being Jewish. I got lucky. I didn't draw the short straw. I like won the fucking lottery. and it's been a gas. We do want to talk about Hanukkah. Today is the first day of Hanukkah. Which means what? We eat matzah and wait for our Messiah? What happens?
Well, there's... What happens?
I'm so confused.
So first thing is you progressively light an additional candle each night. You start with one. It's 8 days, and you light ultimately 8 candles altogether. There's one candle called the Shamus, which means sort of the working candle. Mm-hmm. That's number 9 that you use to light the other ones. But the idea is you're at the darkest time of the year, and that you're increasing the light. Mm-hmm. That's and there's actually 2 different parts to the Hanukkah story. There's the military victory part, which is the Maccabees.
And I'm glad you put those terms too, because why is it fucking war?
Well, it was
not that it's our fault. I mean, we're just innocents of this whole thing. But you know, it's like if one hits you, turn the other cheek. I mean, it was Anton LaVey, he of the Satanic Bible. If one hits you on one cheek, you smite him on the other. It's like I can't be pushed around that much anymore.
One of my undergrads just wrote a paper on Satanism, by the way, for a sociology of religion class, and I never knew that there were so many different Satanist groups. Like, there was LaVey, but there's all these other groups. I didn't know this.
The Satanic Bible's pretty good. I mean, it's basically this kind of like, I mean, it's not quite Dianetics. I mean, it's not Scientology.
Yeah.
But it's largely like, believe in yourself and self-help and be confident and don't get pushed around and be true. To thine own self, be true, I think, is the message.
Yeah, it's basically be as selfish as you want to be. That's the way that I read it from this paper.
Selfish as you want to be.
Which comes into some ethical issues.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's no like hocus pocus, you know, child sacrifice. But what struck me reading this paper was that it was just another sort of rhetorical device for being an asshole.
Okay, I'll accept that. There are lots of assholes.
Right,
and
right.
My advice is, and I don't know where this is, what in the Talmud is like, don't be a dick.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's one of those kind of like, I don't know, kind of things about being a Jew. And sort
so,
of,
so LaVey developed a hermeneutic for people who are acting out to be assholes, to justify being assholes.
To qualify
right,
being,
right,
exactly. to qualify being
and
a
I
dick.
And I say, why do you need to justify that? You know. Anyways, we're getting away from the Hanukkah.
That's why I say, why be a dick? Just be like me. Get a
right,
radio show.
Right. Don't make excuses for it, right?
Hanukkah, the military victory. Okay, that's the Maccabees. It's a war. It's the story that we all know about the 8 days.
Right.
You know, keeping the eternal flame alive. There wasn't enough oil.
Right.
He had to go wandering off into the desert. He, you know, only enough oil to last one day.
Right.
And lo and behold, miracle of miracles, it lasted 8 days, and thus we have 8 days of Hanukkah and the Festival of Lights.
Right. So you have the Maccabees, otherwise known as the Hasmoneans. That was actually their family name. And they lived about 2,200 years ago. They took advantage Land of Israel at that point.
That's actually fairly recent. I mean,
It is.
I mean, all things considered.
It is.
2,200 years ago, they were contemporaries of Jesus.
They even predate. Ish. Right. And they Jewish. Land of Israel was under the rule of Alexander the Great. His empire split up into various parts. The people up north were called the Seleucids. The people down in Egypt were called the Ptolemies. In the Land of Israel, there was sort of Egyptian group. There was a pro-Syrian group. Anyways, there were a lot of weakness in these post-Alexander empires. The Maccabees took advantage of that weakness to establish a Jewish state, independent Jewish state, very briefly. But they went south very quickly in terms of their own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And they combined the offices of royalty and the priesthood. So they did, to put it in...
A little church and state kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
there.
They did a big... And they behaved like most royalty does, which is that they became corrupt and idiotic and self-aggrandizing, and they alienated much of the population. So we have this Hanukkah story they came up with, this military victory, which they decided to sort of model after the established holiday of Sukkot. And then much later, and this is in the Talmud, they come up with this story. The rabbis, who were not fans of the Maccabees because of their corruption, come up with a story with miracle. And they reintroduce God into the whole story, and they introduce hope into the story. And so what we have now today is like a seamless combination of the military to the military victory and the miracle, but originally it was two different things. And so we have the rabbinic version now, which is much better.
I'm digging it, and I'm digging the latkes.
Sorry for that long explanation.
No. Thank you, Rabbi Dan Bronstein here on Arts and Seizures. So we're going to take a little Hanukkah break here. We're going to spin a version of the dreidel song, and when we come back, maybe we'll even play strip dreidel. It's radio. No one will know what the fuck we're doing. All right, you're listening to Arts and Seizures here on the Heritage Radio Network.
I have a little dreidel. I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, with dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 with dreidel I shall play.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, hey, Carmen, we're playing dreidel. You want to try?
That's why they're lame.
What's going on?
Oh, it's that Hanukkah thing. It's so amazing. You spin this thing on the ground and it goes round and round. I could watch it all day. Let me try.
I'll try to make it spin. It fell. I'll try again.
Oh, dreidel, 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 dreidel. I make you out of
clay. My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome.
Thank you, Heritage.
All right, we're back. Arts and Seizures. It's Mike Edison with our special guest today, Rabbi Dan Bronstein. And it is the season of giving. And if you're listening to us on your internet machine and there's a button there that says be a member or donate to Heritage Radio, don't forget we are a nonprofit. It's tax deductible. We are member supported. Give, 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 give. Because, you know, like Donald Trump said, Rabbi, you Jews,
right.
You like to give. That's you like to give.
Well, and he said oy, oy, oy. Also, this is the Republican Jewish Coalition, one of my least favorite groups. And there's something something counterintuitive like about that name, Republican Jewish Coalition.
I always told my mom, God bless her, Mom, you were part, well, you are when she was alive, but she was part of three distinct groups that should never vote Republican. And she was she had a right-wing kook husband, but said, you're a woman. You're a Jew and you're a school teacher. They fucking hate you. You've hit the holy fucking trinity of people the fucking Republicans hate. You need to push the other button.
You know what it's like? I was at a very tragic shiva, the commemoration.
As opposed to the other kind.
Well, this one was particularly, this death was particularly tragic.
As opposed to the comic shiva.
Right. But I'll say that there was a very nice man, not Jewish, who was there. And, excuse me. He was eating a corned beef sandwich with cream cheese.
So that's
a Republican Jewish coalition right there.
Dude, I see someone put fucking like mayonnaise on pastrami. It's like being hit in the stomach.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's a
shonda.
It is a shonda. Okay, on my family and all of our houses. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. It's like pastrami and cheese. Like, what the fuck?
Right. It's by the way, strip date dreidel. It's a good thing this is radio because we're both middle-aged men. I think what people would pay us not to take our clothing off. Right?
I'm going back on J Date and almost think myself as 500 pounds. Just to kind of put it out there. What about that? Was I reading about this Hasidic rabbi guy who was into his wife like sitting on like birthday cakes was like his fetish?
I'm not familiar with that particular episode. However, please feel free to send that.
I will send like there's a name for it, and I'm like hopelessly sexually naive.
There's an actual act that's related to sitting on birthday cakes, pastries.
I think it's like frosting, like cakes are kind of squatting, and it gets kind of in there. I want to talk about.
Well, that would be justified, you know, in Jewish law. If that furthers the intimacy in that marriage, you can do whatever.
Whatever, you know, whatever gets you through the night, you know. Yeah. We're progressive people. I mean,
that's right.
You know, I mean, listen. On this show, we've come out against racism. We're against it.
Right.
We've come out against poverty, against it.
Right.
We've come out against rape, definitely against it. We're very liberal here.
Yeah, I think my version would be like sitting on brisket more than
No, you know what's a fucking crime? You know what's it's like my, you know what my mother would do with a brisket? Ruin it.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Here's this beautiful piece of meat. You know, she wasn't
now I understand your anger.
It's like, oi. I am not one of those self-loathing Jews. I'm just not. I mean, I actually dig the skin I'm in, you know?
Right.
But then again, I don't cover myself with like Heinz ketchup and like Lipton soup mix, which is how my mother made a brisket. It's like, respect the fucking thing, you know? I mean, you don't have to incinerate it, and you don't need to cover it in like corn syrup and MSG. It's like
people do weird things. They use Coke for their brisket. Not Coke the drug, Coke the soft drink.
That almost makes sense
to me.
Odd sense to me in a weird sort of way.
Baby food, they use that. You know, whatever works.
So when it comes to brisket, okay, the Jews have got it all wrong. Go to Texas and get like, this is like where our Gentile friends, you know, have got the barbecue thing down.
They nailed it.
I mean, we do a few things pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to Arkansas to get my kugel, okay?
Right.
Okay, but if you want some fucking barbecue, you go to Kansas,
Texas,
you go to Texas, you go to fucking
right.
South Carolina.
It's true.
They know what they're doing. There's like nary a Jew in sight.
It's true. Let credit be given.
Absolutely. It's a big world. It's a brothership.
Right.
You know, a brotherhood of man, I should
That's
say.
That's right.
You know, and women. I mean, and now I got to worry because I'm afraid now if I say man, someone says, no, you should say like, you know, biological man or you know, I'm a cis male.
Yeah, really.
I don't even fucking know. Listen, I'm happy with all parts of the rainbow. Just don't be a dick.
That's right.
I'm with you. Isn't that the Talmud basically in a nutshell?
Well, a lot of people, the way I heard a
Rabbi.
Teacher of mine describe it was, don't be a putz.
Right.
So the difference was he said putz instead of dick, but we're basically, you know, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
Don't be a dick. And speaking of not being a dick, it's holiday season. It's Hanukkah. Christmas is coming up. I know they sort of run into each other. We give each other's presents. We play Secret Santa. It's this, become this whole, you know, the trappings of Michigas of the holiday season. I want to talk a little bit about the joy of giving.
Right.
And also the joy of receiving.
Right.
Because this is very important. You know, this is what separates us from the animals, is that we give each other presents.
Right.
And we take pleasure in bringing pleasure to other people. But we also, the great pleasure is to let someone else feel that joy for doing something nice to you. And this is what my parents sucked at the most. You couldn't give them a fucking present. No, I don't want that. I can't believe you spent your money. You know, it was just like the worst. Like, why are you denying me this pleasure of trying to bring you pleasure? And help me with this, Rabbi. Help me.
I'm sorry you experienced that, but that was not your fault. That's because they were sad people.
Oh, oy. Oy.
That wasn't your fault. That was And you're right about being able to receive gifts as well as give them.
Receiving
that's an important thing.
It's a high art of like graciousness and menschdom, I think. And it's hardly you know ever just. I mean, giving is a wonderful thing, but you know you get a turd of a fucking present that you don't want. It's still I love this. Thank you.
Right. It's somebody was trying.
There's this the only appropriate response.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Love this.
Some people can't do that. Some people are unhappy, and they take their unhappiness out on others, including their own children,
oh,
and that's unfortunate.
Okay, now is that a Jewish thing, or is that an everybody thing?
That's an everybody thing.
But what we do excel at it.
Well, we you know, I don't know if we do excel at it more than others. I mean, that's a stereotype. I think we're more open discussing it. Maybe that's why our stereotype is so pronounced. But I'm not sure that we're better at it than other people. Well, maybe we are. Maybe our insults are sharper. Our psychological warfare could be pretty sharp. But I think that it's a universal human
expression.
Well,
it was a long time after wandering around in the desert waiting for the promised land to make these jokes, to workshop this shit.
All you have to do is pick up the Bible and you'll see that during the wanderings in the desert.
You mean the Hebrew Bible.
Yes. What was the chief complaint? The chief complaint was food, and I'm not making this up. Constantly. If you just read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you'll see it. So that goes way back. But I think that we're more expressive.
Biggest complaint was food. Could have been the Bible could have taken place in my house was my biggest chief complaint. Mom, really, shake and bake chicken again?
Yes,
seriously?
Right. I forgot about shake and bake. That's sort of
this defines my youth.
That's
shake
like Jiffy Pop.
It's like ragu old world style like sauce majar. Jiffy Pop. You know, I compared Jiffy Pop to the other day. I was working on a book. It's like imagine like you know it's great because it's like oh it's as much fun to make as it is to eat.
Right.
You got to think. Okay, imagine if every time you made toast you threw out the toaster.
Right.
That's
right.
Like how you know environmentally unfriendly Jiffy
that's
Pop.
That's America.
Is. We suck.
Or in terms of like you know what about SpaghettiOs? I was thinking about those.
SpaghettiOs.
Right.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I actually opened up a can of processed food.
Yeah, think about that.
You know,
for a second.
But there was a while when, you know, my life went like, okay, beefaroni, you know.
That's right. Spam. You know.
Spam.
Right.
It's not kosher.
No, it's not. It's not. Thank God.
Well, thank God because, all right, I'm going to ask you straight a personal question. When's the last time you broke kosher? When's the last time you ate something that wasn't kosher? Can you say it for all arts and seizures? Just lay it out there for all of Bushwick and the world.
I'm trying to think. Probably last summer when I had some, it was not pork, but I had some non-kosher barbecue last summer.
Yeah, how was it?
It was very
awesome,
good.
Right?
It was quite good.
It was good.
And there's actually no reason why Jews can't do that. There are some places in Crown Heights now where you can get good kosher barbecue.
Well, there's no reason why.
Exactly. There's no reason.
The only reason that's not making it kosher is because it wasn't a rabbi on hand. I mean, there's nothing in a bottle of wine, generally speaking, that would make it not kosher. I don't have to drink fucking the melted lollipop swill that is Manischewitz just because.
Well, the whole Heksher thing, which means a certificate certifying that something is kosher, that's unfortunately become really politicized and involved with business, and that's unfortunate. But you're right. There's certain types of food. There's no reason why you can't make good kosher versions of it.
Well, why not? I mean, brisket especially.
Especially, you know.
A nice cut of beef that's got to go low and
that's
slow.
Right. But let's give the Gentile Texans credit. Kol hakavod, as we say in Hebrew. All respect due to that innovation, which changed human history.
Fucking hell
yes,
right.
Yes, that's right.
Fucking hell right. So, well, as usual, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet. Holy cow, it's almost time to light the Hanukkah candles. And, wow, we've talked about gift giving. We sort of touched on Donald Trump. I was rooting for him in a sick sort of fucking way up until like recently, and it stopped being funny.
Yeah.
In a way, it was like, I'm going to register Republican. I'm an independent. I don't like the two-party system, and I don't trust the Democrats either. Hillary Clinton, I don't believe one fucking word that comes out of that woman's mouth. And I don't want to be part of it. So I do vote, and I tend to vote the Democratic Party line as far as it goes. But I've never voted for anybody with an R after their name. Right. That is for fucking sure. And part of the, you know, sort of just as like a monkey wrench, you know, as a muckraker, you know, just sort of as like a disruptor, Donald Trump for a moment was working for me. It's like, America, if this is what you want, I'm going to help you fucking grease the wheels. I'm going to, you know, really, this is really, really what you deserve. Please don't let me stop in your way, but it ceased to be funny.
Yeah, and him going after disabled people, and veering, and it's not a word that I use simply, but veering towards the fascism. And Ben Carson scared the hell out of me with his ahistorical comments about Joseph from the Bible and the Holocaust. And I'm glad that he was pronouncing Hamas the same way as people pronounce hummus. I'm glad that thing seems to have put things in perspective.
All right. The next thought for a terrorist sandwich.
That's right.
On a pita to
chickpea
go.
Chickpea terrorist.
Which is the perfect way to describe this show. A terrorist sandwich to go. All right. It's been the fastest half hour on the internet today. Thanks to Liz in the booth, as always. Thanks to all you guys out there in Radio Land. Darren Bronstein, Rabbi
Thank
Dan.
Thank you. I hope I added to the literature.
Where can we find you? Are you like out there teaching, spreading the word, the good word, the truth, the gospel?
That's right. I'm at Hunter College in the 92nd Street Y.
All right. Well, that is awesome sauce. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. Thanks, Rabbi Dan. And you're going to come back. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
All right. Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Chag Sameach.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.